Paula, welcome to Chai FM. Nice to have you on the show.
Benji, it's lovely to be on the show. Thank you.
So you've been visiting the country. You're touring around like a celebrity doing all the different limuds. How's that experience been?
Well, I'm speaking to you at the moment from Durban, so we're winding down Limwood here. It's been a really nice experience. I presented last weekend in Johannesburg. So it's always a pleasure to be back in South Africa and particularly to be able to share my experiences with South Africans and have people come up and challenge me and ask me questions. So I always find that hugely, hugely interesting because the questions and the perceptions people have here don't always match the way people in Israel or in the Middle East see events. So it's been a really worthwhile experience from my side.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. When I was at Limwood, I was at one or two of your sessions and they were packed out. I mean, people were sitting on the floor. It was crazy, especially like, you know, some of the sessions where you spoke about your own personal experience, you spoke about dealing with ISIS related stuff. It's very, very hectic stuff, that you cover as a war correspondent. And I would say traditionally more of a male dominated, field. Would you say that that's changing, that on a day like Women's Day, we can celebrate female war correspondents?
I think it certainly is changing. I mean, firstly, if I just look at my network, if I look at RT, we by far have far more female journalists in the field than we have male journalists. It's not necessarily a conscious decision by the network. I think it's just that there were a lot of young, talented women who came up through the ranks, particularly in Russia, who for whatever reason were attracted to this industry, who speak good English. It's still quite uncommon for people in Russia to speak English. So one of the requirements for working for my network, if you're Russian, is that you have to speak good English. And they just seem to have been attracted to the industry, and hence I'm not in the minority by far working for Russia today. Having said that, when I go to war zones, I think it's accurate to say that proportionally there still are more men than women that are working in the conflict zones. But I certainly have noticed in the last 12 years that I've been doing particularly this field that the number of women has increased. And I think that's because we see more women on our screens. I think part of the reason is that when you see other women doing something, well, then you believe that you can do it as well, which of course is true. There's no reason why a woman can't be a war correspondent. But the field still tends to be more male, probably because of the risks that are involved. I mean, there are risks that are uniquely female. For example, the threat of sexual harassment or being attacked or being raped. Those, by and large, are not concerns that male journalists, male war correspondents would face to the same degree. And yet, having said that, the advantage of being a woman as a war correspondent is I often feel I get access to stories that my male colleagues wouldn't have access to. So I can be on the front line and everybody can be firing bullets, and then suddenly they notice that there's a woman in their midst. And it's remarkable, but it almost calms people down. And then, you know, I think just offhand of reporting in Afghanistan, where it's very patriarchal, and I have access to the women in their kitchens where my male colleagues don't. And then I also have access to the men who are sitting in the living room and don't really know what to do with me, but have to have me present because I'm the person who's going to ask them their questions. And very often I feel that they don't quite understand this Western female journalist. They look at me as almost a third sex. In their eyes, sometimes I feel I'm not female and I'm not male. I'm just kind of female war correspondent, which is something completely different.
Yeah, you say about sexual assault that it is a serious concern, and I've got no doubt I can remember it with the protests in Tahrir Square during the Arab Spring. There were some horrific things that came out. I mean, is that ever something that you've had to deal with in some of the places you've dealt in?
Certainly. I mean, you mentioned Tahrir Square, which was in 2011 at the start of the Arab Spring. And I was there at the time, and there were two women journalists who were raped and quite a lot of women journalists reported being assaulted. And I, just as an aside, I remember walking my way almost every evening for about a month through the crowds at Tahrir Square, which were thick with people, and they were predominantly men, to be accurate. And I remember working with an Egyptian cameraman and saying to him, please don't lose me because I'll never find you again in this crowd. And so he held my hand when we walked through the crowd. And I remember once asking him, well, and I thought it was kind of a light-hearted question to ask. I said, what do people think when they see us together and we're holding hands? He says, well, the only reason why a man would hold the hand of a woman here if they are not married is either she's his sister, and clearly you're not my sister, or she's a prostitute. And those were the two extinctions, one or the other, which didn't really calm down. And I kind of regretted asking the question. But there's also an energy when you're reporting in war zones where people are dying and tempers are running high, that sometimes you don't experience that in ordinary situations. And so when the tensions are running high and when people behave in ways that they wouldn't under ordinary circumstances, of course the threats facing women are that much more intense. I remember at the time Reporters Without Borders, which is an organization obviously that cares for and looks after journalists, issued a statement to all newsrooms and said, do not send women journalists to Tahrir Square, because they were receiving all these reports of sexual assault and rape. And all the women journalists, myself included, got our hands up in the air, and we were really angry because women have obviously fought so long to be able to be afforded the opportunities to go to places like war zones and where we want to go and to be treated with equality. And so there was such an outpouring of anger that Reporters Without Borders retracted the statement and reissued a statement just saying, please be careful. If you're a news editor sending a female reporter, please just be extra cautious. So obviously there are those extra risks that women face that men don't face, but I certainly don't think it should be a reason why a woman who wants to be a war correspondent should not be afforded the opportunity to be one.
Now, you come back to South Africa reasonably frequently for different reasons, and you often are reporting from the Russian perspective. We kind of have a sense about how the Western world sees South Africa. From the Russian perspective, what do you think people think about South Africa, decision makers, etc.?
You know, I used to work at SABC before I joined RT. So obviously what was going on in South Africa was hugely important to me and was basically my worldview. And yet I find now that as important as South Africa was to me when I lived and reported in this country is, in my experience, how unimportant it is on the international stage. And I'm not even talking here just for RT. I'm not talking only for Russian network. If you look at international news, South Africa very seldom makes it out there, unless it was stories about Mandela, which now, you know, we don't really have those kind of stories. Unless it's an unusual crime story, the Oscar Pistorius story everybody picked up on. But other than that, stories from South Africa really don't make it onto the international stage. And I think RT, the channel I work for, falls into that. So firstly, what's going on in South Africa, I'm sorry to be this frank, but just is not that interesting for an international audience. And secondly, South Africa for Russia, from a political point of view, is also not that hugely important. Certainly Russia values BRICS and South Africa is part of BRICS. So there is interest in having a political relationship with South Africa, which is still seen as one of the major powerhouses of Africa. But it cannot compete with the importance Russia places on European cities, the importance it places on cities in the former Soviet sphere and in the Middle East. So it's that eternal question that Africa kind of falls by the side when it comes to international politics. And that's not just a uniquely Russian thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting. Paula, we are out of time for our interview today. Thank you so much for coming on and giving us a bit of a background into experiences. And please enjoy being a tourist in your homeland for another week or so.
Thank you very much. I will do.